Hey guys, it's Jeremy. Welcome back to another episode of the Always Loading Podcast. It is our belief in this podcast, and it gets stronger every year, every day, every week, that there's literally nothing that you can't do, because there's someone in this world that is already doing something similar or close to what you want to do and has a life that is pretty similar to the way that you want it. Now, we have big media tycoons and Will Smiths and Oprah Winfrey's in the world. And yeah, it's wonderful learning from them. But what I like doing is I created a relatable role model segment. If this is your first time listening, of people that have just happiness and joy in their life and success to a point where if you looked at them, you're like, yeah, you know what? I would love a little bit of their life. And today I have somebody that is a best friend. And so it's wonderful having him on the podcast anyways, but he is a wonderful role model. He's a marketing professional. He works at Burley Design in Eugene, Oregon, where he creates digital content, video, photos, websites. He's worked for big time businesses. He's worked for universities. And he also created a side business, Volley Media, where he does absolutely wonderful work in weddings, photography. He's the one that he'll be at a wedding and he'll make everybody laugh and make everybody feel so comfortable while he's there and then do incredible thorough work afterwards. And so I'm very pleased to have Ryan on this podcast, number one, because it's going to be fun for us. And I'm just thankful for you to be here and thankful that you made me that delicious peanut butter and jelly before we started.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. One thing that you didn't plug of the many things that I do is I also have a podcast. My podcast is a couple of things that I host with my fiance right now. You might be listening to it in the future and we could be married, but another podcast that I do. But yeah, I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited to relate.
His wonderful fiance, his radiant fiance.
Yeah, Mallory.
It's one of my favorite things. They have such a good rapport back and forth. And I've passed along their, I was telling Ryan this before the podcast. I don't share a whole lot of podcasts. I have no problem sharing your podcast. I have no problem sharing your content.
Thank you.
Nothing else gets shared on my Facebook pages
or Instagram pages. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So if for those of you that follow me on Instagram or Facebook, he's probably one of the only people that you know about that's in my life.
Yeah.
With how public of a life that I live. So with that being said, welcome to the podcast. And I really want to go right into starting a podcast. You know, You got the idea, probably you said, I think when Mallory was doing her own podcast, his fiance, his wonderful fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, yeah, I'd like to do that myself. And I feel like a lot of people get ideas to start something, but you went out and did a ton of research and then got these wonderful microphones that we are using that you should be probably sponsored by Blue. I don't know what these are.
Yeah, they're Blue Yeti mics.
Blue Yetis.
Yeah, they're all right. They get the job done.
And so you literally went out and you were just so prepared. And you even told Mallory what you told me before the podcast. You said, hey, when we were doing this, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then you've been consistent with it. You guys have already done 7 episodes.
Yeah.
And they've been weekly and they have such, like, I'm going to learn from him in this episode. So I guess, how do you go about starting things? And do you struggle with starting new things? Is it difficult for you? Or because it seems to come like very easily and professionally.
Yeah. So with the podcast, when Mallory, I always have loved doing video and audio, and I haven't done audio recording in a long time. And Mallory was doing a podcast with her friend and that ended up stopping. And I decided that I was going to do it. I knew that the equipment that I had wasn't good enough, or I just couldn't figure out how to do it because it's been such a long time. So I got some easier recording equipment, did a bunch of research on what sort of makes a good podcast formula, and then went about and did it. And for me, starting new projects, it's a little difficult to begin with, but podcasting hasn't been difficult because I say this on mine with Mallory, is that I mainly do a lot of the work for myself that I create for myself. I don't do it for other people. And if other people like it, that's fantastic. But if not, that's cool too. Starting other projects for other businesses it is work. Mm-hmm. And when I do something like that, it always comes down to I need to prioritize what needs to get done and then how to do it. I'm very fortunate in that what I do for a living is what I love to do, and it makes it easy to really get into projects. If you don't have a passion for, say podcasting or say anything digital, it's going to come difficultly. It's going to be difficult for you to do.
I couldn't say his fiance's name in the last podcast we did. So
that's okay. But yeah, that's it's true in any field, is that if you don't like what you're doing, things are always going to be hard to do. They're always going to be hard to start. For me, once I start something, it just gets easier and easier. And doing a podcast, especially with Mallory, who I love a lot, it's really easy to just kind of sit down for an hour and talk.
Do you feel like that helps, gives you patience to like make mistakes and just start? Because I feel like, you know, you had a camera in your hands at 4 and 5 years old, walking around your house like, hey, mom. And she's like, Ryan.
Yeah, they hated it. They hated it.
So I feel like you've kind of always just loved documenting things. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've never asked you this question before, but when you would document as a kid, would you go back and like rewatch those? And did that part just give you the joy of, because I never asked if you had, because I feel like we watch some of them, because we have some of them that are like, they're basically memes on our phones now between like me and my brothers, and we found some old clips that are legendary.
I have a great one of you waving. It's great. Yeah. I think you're like 8.
I'm not very old. I'm playing Pokemon Blue sitting in his front yard with Blake. I basically looked like I confiscated Blake's Game Boy.
Yeah, I'm sure he asked for some help. For that, I don't ever remember making it to look back on. I've loved technology, and I think a lot of it was I just wanted to use the use the camcorder, and it wasn't until later that I grew up that I realized
how cool it really was,
how cool it is to have that as something that I can look back on
forever.
Yeah,
and it's like that moment in time. It'll never happen again.
Yeah, and I think as I've gotten older, I've really looked at the content that I'm making and have that in mind when I make it. And it makes it a lot easier to make something for me.
Right. And I just told you a second ago that this is so cool to me, because I've never asked you this of, man, you didn't actually go back and watch it. You literally made it for you, because you're like pressing the button and then going around and just playing with the technology and seeing what had changed. Maybe like when each new camcorder that you got and new phone.
Yeah. We had one camera when I was little.
Okay.
And so it never had to do with, at that time, the new technology.
the technology. Yeah. Yeah, right.
I mean, back then it was actually on tape. it just had to do with looking and making something, and nobody ever saw it until, God, it must have been 8, 9 years later.
Okay.
That it was first seen again, and then we looked it up again not too awfully long ago. But yeah, I just made it to make it.
Right.
And it's funny, you know, I have a twin brother, and we're very different people in that.
Truth.
In that he is a chemical engineer and I am not.
He took up that left side.
Yeah. And I've just always enjoyed creating things. So if there's, you know, if there's one thing that I say to people who want to create, is that just make something to make something. Don't make something for it to be the next most popular video.
Right.
If you make something and you like what it is, then you can keep making things and they'll just get better and better, and eventually people will find it and people will like it.
And that's actually what I was telling him a second ago too, is like, you know, there's so much value in this and I didn't know where it was. And that's my favorite part about doing podcasting, is you'll hear something and be like, as a society, and I'm talking about me as well, get into the trap of, oh, I'm going to try and make this really funny video and hopefully it gets a million views. Mm-hmm. And now we have all these expectations built up into it. Whereas when I'm doing like a Jim Carrey impersonation lately, I am having so much fun doing this, and to the point where I'm trying to watch it back and I'm in tears. And now it's like, okay, I'm just doing it for the sheer enjoyment.
Yeah. And I guarantee you those videos that you see go viral, those people did not anticipate it going viral, except for these like bigger people, you know,
that already kind of have a little bit of virality with them. Yeah.
There are other people out there who make a video, who make anything, and they've already made 25, 50 other videos and none of them hit the same. And then something just hits right and they enjoyed what they did. And you know, some of these videos that go viral are so dumb, but so funny. And you know, it didn't take a lot of time to do it.
Exactly.
And it's just finding out that they liked that and they ended up making something.
Right. And there's a story from the book called The Go-Giver. Have you ever read that?
Mm-mm.
The lady's name's Deborah Davenport, and she needed to go into real estate as a kind of last resort because her husband like had broken up with her. and left her with kids. And so she's like, I have to find a way to be successful. She went and learned. She was very a go-getter. Mm-hmm. She went and learned from A to Z all the ways to close someone in a deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So for an entire year, she didn't sell a house.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the year, she's like, I have to do something else. All these professionals have taught me how to close. They've taught me all these ways. This is how you do it. So she finally gave up and she had one more house to show. And I probably told this on an episode. I've told this on a podcast before, but she goes to this last house and she goes, the only thing I did right with this family is I brought the keys to show the house. We walked in, we talked about everything but the house. I was super unprofessional. She's like, I barely had my makeup on. Like, we just had a great time because I knew that I didn't care if they bought the house or not.
Right.
What do you think the only house she sold in that entire year was?
That one.
Yeah. Yep. And I think it's because you forget, like, we're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many hacks and ways to do your content, and I'm going to give him plenty of compliments that he's going to enjoy. Your content is absolutely incredible. And it's to the point where I was hanging out with my brother the other day, my little brother Nolan, and I was like, dude, do you think Ryan knows how good he is at this stuff? And I really said this because I was like, you know, I wonder sometimes if it's hard for us to see our own value. And your content and like the things that you do and even the way that you do a podcast and the way you back and forth with Mallory, I see it and I'm almost envious of it because I'm like, this is so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost lost my train of thought because I went down a point of complimenting you. But you are like a human being at all times. And I feel like people go to try and make something instead of just be who they are.
Yeah, thank you. but the stuff that I do is, and it really comes, like I've said, it just comes down to a passion for creating.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff that I've done for the podcast is I've created these 1 minute, excerpts from each episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I just decided to get more into After Effects and see if there's a good way that is engaging that people will like to watch. And just ended up, I spent probably 6 hours working on the first one.
Oh my gosh.
And then after that, I can get them done in 10 minutes now.
Oh, wow. What a difference.
Yeah. So I just had to learn it and set it up to a way that I could get it to work properly. But, there's something about just this, the simplicity of creating something that
mm-hmm.
I really enjoy watching afterwards.
Okay.
Is what I really want from a project. And,
do you feel like people maybe have trouble with patience of that first learning curve?
Oh yeah.
Cause honestly, I did not expect you to say 6 hours and mm-hmm. I love doing this part.
Yeah.
I love talking to somebody and asking questions and helping them see an insight that maybe they didn't understand that'll help other people.
Yeah.
Afterwards, the creating part.
The editing is.
Yeah. I just do not enjoy that part. And it's mm-hmm. the part that probably keeps me from doing a lot more podcasts and a lot more creating than I already do.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that.
But why isn't it that you enjoy it?
Because there's just other things that it doesn't go up the list of my priorities.
Mm.
I feel like in a 24-hour day, you know, I want to spend at least 3-ish hours playing basketball. I want to spend about an hour in a recovery, which is usually like rolling out or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually allocate other times to just something else. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, I think there's another part of me, I've talked about this before, of like a part of an imposter syndrome, and we're going to talk about this later. So I probably won't dive into that right now. I think that's another thing is I feel sometimes like an imposter because I feel like I am really good at helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear people be like, oh, you're 29. You shouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah.
So I think that's also why I'll create it and I'll listen to it. I'm like, man, that sounds great. And then I'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be like, oh, you're only 29. And I think there's times where I let the outside world get in too. And then without all that extra pressure and then the patience to take 6 hours to create a cool minute excerpt that might help people get to the podcast in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You see how that stuff can add up.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, what I kind of went about is Mallory and my podcast is, it's not strictly about relationship stuff, but you know, we give our insight into our relationship and relationships, and friendships, mm-hmm. And how to have healthy, relationships, but.
And I will say this really quick, like they have a wonderful relationship, like their ability to communicate. And we just, him and I just did a friendships podcast on his podcast, if you guys want to go listen to it. So I just wanted to at least give you a plug of.
Yeah.
Of all the people that I've seen have healthy relationships. I mean, how many fights have you had?
None.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've been together 7 years, and we always make sure that when we talk about relationships on the podcast, we don't try and go from and it's a little different from what you're doing, but we try to make sure that we aren't giving necessarily advice, we're giving experience. Mm-hmm. And that I'm just going to share my experience with somebody, and if they decide that it is something that they can implement, perfect. And so, you know, I'm 27, and there are people who've been married for years and years and years. But the thing is they're not doing a podcast, and I am. And if you want to listen to me talk about my relationship and you might benefit from it, perfect. But if not, I'm making something for me to make. And, right. You know, if people are going to give you shit for being only a certain age, like that doesn't matter. If people are listening to you and if you like doing what you're doing, you just keep doing it. And I say that to other kids who are, you know, younger than we are, is that it shouldn't matter how old you are. Just make sure that what you're making is the best that you can make, and then people will respect you for it.
I said that I was going to learn things on this podcast, and I knew I would. That's the other cool part about doing relatable role models, is that I get to, quote unquote, scratch my own itch, is something that Tim Ferriss says a lot. He'll bring people on that he wants to learn from. Mm-hmm. And when I was preparing for this, I was like, what do I want to know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Ryan's professionalism and his thoroughness and his patience is something that I think makes him, I see it where I think you could be successful in so many realms because of that. And speaking on about thoroughness and patience, do you have moments where you are impatient, like in those 6 hours, or,
oh, yeah.
And maybe especially when you're working on a project that's a forced project, mm-hmm. from work, where you have to like allocate a certain amount of time for to do that and just get it over with? Or how do you go about doing that? Because doing your best work when you're not patient is kind of tough.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny when I spent that was only a few nights ago that I ended up doing that.
And fresh.
I was laying on my bed, and Mallory and I were watching something on Netflix, and I was looking online and I found this cool graphic, and it just sparked something in me. I was like, I got to do this. Mm. And she goes, oh, okay, well, maybe later. I was like, no, I got to do this now. And so we ended up stopping watching Netflix, and I spent the next 6 hours doing it, and she fell asleep. But it was fine. It's just what I ended up doing. But when there's something like that, when I become impatient with something, you always have to figure out when your breaking point is and mm-hmm. never reach it. So figure out what your breaking point is, because once you reach a breaking point when you're creating something, it's 10 times harder to go back and start doing it. Whereas if you stop creating something right before your breaking point, mm-hmm. you have a fresh mindset to go take a break and go, okay, this is something I can still solve. But inevitably, a lot of the time when you're creating something, so say specifically I'm creating some sort of digital, like a photo with some font and stuff on mm-hmm. it for an email, I'll look at it for maybe an hour or so and just something isn't right. And if I know that if I look at this for another 20 minutes, I'm going to lose all creativity towards it and I'm just going to be resentful of working on it.
Okay.
So if I stop at that hour and take a break or work on something else and come back in 15 minutes, after having not thought about it for that 15 minutes, you have a fresh perspective on, oh, okay, yeah, this is what I was creating. And then maybe you have a different idea for how you want to go about and tackle it. So the best thing that I do is I just get up from my desk and walk around and then come back. I mean, it's so simple, but if you just take a break and just clear your mind and maybe have a different way of thinking about something, that's the perfect way to do it. And there's a lot of marketing companies out there that have different workspaces for mm-hmm. their employees. Mm-hmm. So we're actually working at one at Burley that we put up a whiteboard and we put some couches in there and stuff. And it's just another place for us to go that isn't the exact same. So if you're just sitting at your desk and you've been sitting there racking your brain on something for 4 hours, don't. because right. just get up, move, and then maybe if you have a laptop, move somewhere else. But
so it's almost like a writer's block of mm-hmm. certain sort, because it's in that same realm of creativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exactly like that. And just figuring out when your breaking point is and never reaching it is key to keep creating.
Is key. I wonder, for myself, I wonder if I've gotten to certain points like that with my podcast, because you know this, and our family has an ability to work on something mm-hmm. well past the breaking point.
Yeah.
I can be in a gym, get to the breaking point, and then make myself stay there for another 6 hours. Well, eventually you do hit a yeah. second wind.
Yeah.
But I wonder if through creation, I wonder if I got to a breaking point at some point and then pushed through that just like I would. Hey, it's a wall. It's athletic. Like, yeah. Let's yeah. pound through this right now and crank this out. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know I've done that. I've stayed up. Because I get ideas about a book and I'll stay up and write for like 9 hours. Yeah. My mom will find me in the chair in the
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
She's like sipping her coffee. Have you gone to bed?
You go, nope. No, I haven't.
And so I do understand that there's a flow state and there is times where you can just ride the creativity mm-hmm.
oh,
wave.
100%.
Oh my God. And there's nothing like those flow yeah. states. But I wonder, and I'm sure other people have done this, I wonder if I've gotten to my breaking point and then that's why I struggle mm-hmm. with creativity on like maybe those 6 hours. Maybe I should have just done 30 minutes and just respected myself enough to be like, okay, this is all I want to allocate towards this right now.
Yeah.
And I should come back to it later.
Yeah. Because I mean, especially if you're creating something that doesn't have a deadline, it'll still be there.
Oh,
there's no... And if there's no deadline for you to get it done by, why do you need to spend 6 hours right then to do it?
What a great question.
Yeah. If you're getting frustrated with something, there's no reason for you to keep doing it. If you're getting paid to do it, then you got to do it.
then you got to get up and take a lap.
Yeah. Take a lap and then come back. But I mean, I remember when you were talking to me about editing some videos mm-hmm. and you were having issues and it was just taking forever. And every yeah. time it would just
take
forever.
And I was trying to joke with you.
And you know, you've only produced a few videos after that. And what happens is you kind of scar yourself from it in the last time you interacted with it, you hated it.
I did.
So why would you want to go back and do it immediately? And so making sure that you don't impact your brain like that
right.
is super important.
Right. So I need to go get therapy. And then
it's starting a new project for one. Like right. if you've been creating something and it's just not working, and it's not the most important thing, you're not getting paid for it.
Of course.
Just stop.
Of course.
And either maybe recreate it into something else mm-hmm. or just start a new project.
Right, because I used to do the daily germs mm-hmm. and I had those ones from China. And they were really cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed doing it. There was comedy with it. I even had people at work coming up to me. They're like, hey, I tried that idea out. They made a peanut butter and blueberry and spinach sandwich to have something mm-hmm. a little more healthy. Mm-hmm. We're sticking on the peanut butter and jelly train.
Just for context, I eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day at work.
That's right.
I've been eating it for almost 4 years straight. Straight.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
How many sandwiches is that?
But see, that's one of those things is I'm a little OCD about stuff. And that's why creating for me comes a lot easier is because I have such an attention to detail
right.
and I make sure that if I'm doing something that it is the best that it's going to be and not the best that it's ever going to be, but the best that I can make it be.
That's fair. And of all the things that I think, we actually have 2 points. First one is having something that is so consistent that you don't have to make a decision on, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, mm-hmm. like what you wear to work. I know there's Steve Jobs and Zuckerberg, like they wore the same mm-hmm. shirt.
Yeah.
Every single day. Like, yeah. and they really just, so that's interesting. Just a side point. And then the, what was the other part that you said? Oh, the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Something that I have so much respect for now that I've been making a lot more TikToks and I've really enjoyed these and they don't take all of my life to do mm-hmm. is I will finish a take sometimes. It did take me a little bit and I'll watch it and it's not the best of my abilities. And I'll be like,
yep.
And I know that in my heart of hearts, I'm going to go back and I'm going to redo it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've had moments like that. I'm sure you've had moments like that where you worked 6 hours on a project and you scrapped it.
Yeah. I look back specifically at the wedding videos that I've done. And I look back at the first one that I made. And now I look at the ones that I'm making now. And there is such a huge difference.
Of course.
Obviously, because I've learned a lot more.
Right.
But those first ones, you know, if I was me now, I obviously wouldn't produce them, but back then it was the best I could do.
The best you could do.
And people are still going to love it. Oh, yeah. And if if you're making something that you know you can't get any better, and you know, if you make something and you think people are going to tear it to shreds, at least you made it. And if you want to put it out there, put it out there, and some people will give you constructive criticism on it, and that's great, but it's never worth not sending something out into the world. True. Because you don't think it's absolutely perfect.
And sometimes you don't know. Sometimes those videos that do end up going viral are the ones that people are like, I didn't even know that was good. There's mm-hmm. there's so many ones I see on TikTok now, they're like, oh, I'll probably delete this later.
Yeah.
I'm like, oof, yeah. I'm glad you didn't. Mm-hmm. It has 600,000 likes and it's yeah. just blowing up right now.
Yeah.
I'd like to segue off into worth, because taking that time, obviously we're going to grow. Obviously we're going to change over time. And I've said before, his content is so amazing. But, you know, with so many people that want to have all these likes, that want to be content creators, they want to be influencers. And I really hope that they get a little more out of this from you of making just to create. And I know I will, mm-hmm. which is super cool. Yeah. So really glad you're here. But also, like, what makes you worth having 50,000 likes on a video? What makes you worth working for a big business? What makes you worth that kind of stuff? And I think of all the people, you know, you are worthy of, like, the wedding videos, and you have that self-worth inside yourself. Like, you know that, like, you know what your time is worth.
Right. And I think a lot of these people who, you know, are quote unquote influencers, many of the most likable people that have a lot of likes didn't do it to become an influencer. If you have it in your mind that you're going to start doing something so that you can be popular on the internet, it's not going to happen. But if you have a mindset of, I'm going to make something and just put it out there and I'm just going to keep doing it, that's the best way to go about gaining any sort of social media following.
And it's the same, not to cut you off, but it's the same in sports too. Mm-hmm. I've had so many people be like, you're a professional athlete that knew me in high school, or that I even hear because I set up my iPad at half court. They're like, man, I can't believe he's a pro.
Yeah.
I hear that kind of stuff. And it's just, I just didn't quit.
Yeah.
Of course I got better over mm-hmm. time, and it's just something I love doing.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, when you went into it, you know, you did have goals.
Of course.
But your mindset wasn't, all right, I'm going to immediately start this to be a professional. Nope. It's like you took the time to do all the stepping stones to get there.
Well, one of the things that my uncle asked a really good unlocking question, and he said, what would you say to a coach of, like, an NBA team or a G League team if you had 4 minutes to talk to them about how good you are? And I sat there and I thought about it, and he goes, I want you to believe in yourself. I want you to tell them how good you are. And I was like, you know, I'm not that great. And he kind of gave me a funny look. He's like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And he wanted me to really believe it. And mm-hmm. I was like, let me explain. I understand that when I step into a court with people that are professionals that have been playing at that high level for so long, I'm going to be a step slow. Mm-hmm. 100%. Like, yeah. I just know, because I haven't played against it. There's certain things that they do that I've never even seen. It's going to be tough. They're going to be stronger. But what I would tell him is, I may not be an all-star today, and I may not be an all-star in 2 weeks, but I know with how I work and how quickly I learn and adapt, I will be an all-star in 6 months.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of what you're saying, to the same point of, yes, I didn't start it and be like, oh, I'm going to be
mm-hmm. You're not in it for the paycheck. That's the main thing too, is especially creating something online. If you're in it for the money, get out, because you're not going to do it. Unless you are extremely talented and you've been creating and you've just been waiting to put stuff online, it's just not going to happen.
And money's not going to change your life.
No.
It helps.
It helps. But yeah. It's, you know, it's not the end all be all of, all right, you know, I've got it now and everything's going to be A-okay. But that you should never go into content creation for money. You should go into content creation for your own benefit, and then the money comes later.
So I guess what makes you comfortable when you're working with somebody and you're like, gosh, I know I'm worth this much? Because mm-hmm. that's tough, because there is a point where you have to sell yourself.
Right.
Like, so when you do sell yourself, like, that's what I would say to somebody. I guess, what would you say to somebody that, like, was a prospect that was, they had three people potentially of hiring, especially we could use the Canada example. And mm-hmm. granted, you've changed even since then, because we're always evolving, but you had an opportunity to make a pretty good sum of money working with the loggers company. Mm-hmm. What were you saying to them of why you should hire you?
Yeah. So, you know, and when I'm giving myself out there, making sure that they know how passionate I am about making something. And then honestly, with content, is just showing them the content that you already have. nothing speaks better than that. But making sure that you're personable enough, if you're going into being a professional marketer, is making sure that you're personable enough that when they talk to you, they don't feel like you're always trying to sell them something, because people don't want to buy what some random person's selling them. They want to just work with you. And that's the best way to go about making sure that you have professional relationships, is you're just working with them and then the paycheck comes after.
Absolutely. Deborah Davenport.
Yeah. And I always, you know, when I first started, I didn't charge anything for weddings. And it's really important that you don't do that, because, you know, I think it was the first three that I did were completely free. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the work, because if you're going to offer a wedding video mm-hmm. for free, people are going to, you know, you have to be good enough to be able to make something
of course.
For them. But, you know, there's other ways to do it. You go and second shoot for somebody. But, you know, it wasn't until that third wedding that I finally had a portfolio available that I was ready to say, hey, I'm going to charge you this, and you can pay me for it or you can't pay me for it. And it's hard when, you know, you want to do do a video for people, mm-hmm. but, you know, people can afford what they can afford. And, you know, making sure that you figure out what your worth is very important.
And I did an episode on this on my podcast earlier this season of, when you put in an insane amount of work towards something, I feel like it's not hard to sell yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, because if you look back at it, you know, you're proud of the work that you put in. Right. You know how much time you put into that. It's right. Like, it makes it easier to sell. And you also don't have to, like, rebrand yourself. You talked about being a human. I talked about this on our podcast that we did together on friendships. You're you. You're you everywhere you go. And it's something that is such an incredible ability, because who you are and who we are is, as a construct, is actually hard to figure out. We're kind of always trying to do that because we have to put on different masks. You hear that like it's a normal thing. You know, if you ever meet Ryan, he is absolutely the same person everywhere he goes. And you've heard the saying, you know, it's hardest to sell to people that know you. All the weddings that you did were people that you knew you mm-hmm. because you didn't have to rebrand yourself as like a trusted yeah. professional. Yeah. They knew you as the kid that was super nice, mm-hmm. Was always kind, was always like really thorough if they did ask a question about something that they didn't know how to work because they right. were like your mom's friends or something like that. And they were like, how do you work this camera? And you're like, oh, and you would literally take probably 60 minutes out of your day to sit there and show them exactly how to mm-hmm. use it, because yeah. you just got enjoyment out of that.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that people understand that, like, you don't have to rebrand yourself.
No.
Like, you are who you are, and that's super impressive. I guess, and do you think about that? Like, have you ever thought about, like, the fact that you don't have to put on masks?
I've never thought about it from my perspective. I've thought about it from actually you, in that when you were playing basketball, I don't know if you've talked about this before, but in just changing how you acted, it made me realize that I don't act like that. And I think I talked about this on my podcast, is that, figuring out who you are as a person allows you to do that confidently. I know that when I go into a room, that I'm going to be me, and that if people like me, that's great. And if, you know, they don't, I won't talk to them. I'm fortunate in that I think I'm a fairly likable, get along with person. You know, pat on my own back here.
I'll go ahead and step in and say yes. I was letting him hang.
thank you. Phew. But it makes it easier to really sell yourself when your brand is easy to sell.
Right.
You know?
You don't have to look at it and be like, you don't have to feel any type of way like a salesman.
Right.
And I really think that you should never have to, like, do an interview almost. I think once you're living that kind of life, because people just know who you are and they trust mm-hmm. it. And you hear the stories of, you know, the word of mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to do much of a word of mouth if you're constantly just working on who you are. How did you learn who you were? Because I know a lot of people struggle with that. Like, is there, and you might not have an answer for this, and that's totally fine. You might have just kind of always just felt like Ryan. Did you ever have, like, reflection moments of, like, who am I, and, like, get to that point?
Not really. I've always kind of been confident in myself. And, you know, I was fortunate enough that I didn't grow up with social media in my life until I was almost done with high school. It makes it a lot easier. I feel for all those kids out there right now, but
constantly comparing themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
So you felt, maybe that's it. Did you just feel like you weren't comparing yourself to like the quote unquote popular, because we didn't have social media, but we did have social standards and social clicks. And that it, you still, you know, people would make a joke in high school and it would really land with certain people and not. So I, maybe we didn't have social media, but we still had the comparison.
Yeah. Game. I never really cared. And that was the thing for me, is what I would do is I would just know that in my friend circle, everybody liked me for me. And that was all that mattered to me. You know, it's hard to actually say that and actually do it, but it was my philosophy back when I was younger, and it really carried through for, you know, my entire life.
Do you feel like your support at home helped that? Like on the days where you have, you know, somebody say something or certain things pop up, like to be able to go home and tell your mom and have your mom reinforce?
Yeah, I was very fortunate in that I never really had any bad experiences, like people saying anything bad about me, that I knew of, you know, who knows.
I was talking.
Yeah. Well, you never said hi to me in high school when I first got there.
No, so we don't have to go back into this.
You can
story.
Listen to my podcast and hear all about it. But you know, I do think having I was fortunate that I had a good home life, in that, you know, my parents were always supportive of me. And if that's not something that people have, is finding a group of friends that can give that to them. There is nothing, how do I want to say this? There is nothing.
Like nothing wrong with like getting, having support and like talking about like your feelings or something like that. Like I'm just trying to kind of help you get the ball started.
Yeah. I can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but I know. There's nothing noble about going through life completely alone. There is nothing wrong with asking for help from people, and there is nothing wrong with having good friends that you can bounce off of and rely on. There is nothing noble about not relying on somebody.
Yeah. And there's two things I want to go from that. Number one is when you do ask people for help, even if it's someone random on Instagram that, you know, and I know I'd like you to actually tell that story briefly, of the person that has been reaching out to you for help. But when I've reached out to help from other professionals that I respected, from like people that do speaking that I respect, as I'm typing in some of these questions, I'll actually notice the answer of what they might say.
Right.
Just from thinking about it from a perspective of what they might say. Because 99 times out of 100, these people are not going to get back to you.
Yeah.
But just reaching out has been super helpful. It also tells me that it's important enough to me to try and change it.
Yeah. And so for me, with what my kind of philosophy is that there is, if somebody is asking me a question or if somebody is reaching out to me on social media, is that it can take me 10 seconds out of my day to write them a message back. And it's possible that that message has more of an impact than I even understand. You know, it's unfortunate that I can't do it for every single message that I get, but I'm able to do it enough that it makes me feel like I'm doing, it's basically me doing all that I can.
Right.
And if I can make what I have is a positive life and make a positive impact on somebody else, then I'm going to take the time to do that.
I used to have I really hope people do take the time to ask. And with some of your friends, I used to have this with a coworker of mine, actually. We used to call it a five. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, you don't want to bring negativity into other people's lives. And a lot of times the thought process is maybe that person's life isn't together enough to be able to take on my problems as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's where it's not necessarily the nobleness of it. It's like, gosh, I don't want to burden them. Mm-hmm. And I respect that when people are trying not to be negative, but you can make it kind of fun and be like, hey man, I need a five. And that's what we called it. And it, no matter what we were doing, it could be 3 a.m. It was like, hey, shoot, I'm all yours.
Yeah.
I'm all yours. And the full attention that this person gave me, his name is Parker, was like, man, I'd love to be able to do this for someone else. Mm-hmm. And so I had the same thing for him. I was like, hey, he texted me every once in a while, but hey man, I just need a five. Call him instantly. No matter what I was doing, it was stopped because there isn't anything noble about doing at this world alone. And there's something that is so amazingly connected. I don't know, for lack of a better word, like you just feel so good being able to just share with somebody and know that they're not going to judge you and they're just going to help you for like 5 minutes. And it gives you a way to like ask for help without feeling like you're burdening
them. Right. Right. And you know, a lot of people just need reassurance. And you know, it's hard when you know, when I've gone through my life in that I am confident enough in myself that I don't need that, but I'd like to make sure that other people have that as well. And that's something that I really tell people is to try and work towards, is have enough confidence in yourself that you know what you're doing and what, you know, going back to creating stuff, that what you create is good. Because there are people out there, and I talked about this before, is that there's so much on social media with all these likes and stuff, and Instagram's talking about taking away their likes.
Oh, that's so cool.
And that people compare their work to other people's work based on likes. But that has, you know, maybe that person struck big. Maybe they paid for all their followers. Who the hell knows? But if you like your work, be confident in enough in it that you are glad that it's out there and that other people can see it.
And that's where the confidence is going to come from.
Yeah.
Flat out. Let's turn to something a little more relaxing, a little more calm, or casual.
Okay. Casual Fridays here.
Casual. Is it Friday?
I don't know. It is Friday it today. Is Friday. I don't know if you're putting it out on a Friday, but it's Friday today.
It's Friday today. What do your best days look like? So outside of the job, because clearly, you know, you have time that you allocate for, and I'd love for you to talk about that. I know we talked about it before of how much time you allocate towards working towards something, mm-hmm. and then not hitting your creation plateaus maximums, which is kind of where I'm at right now, which is why I'm glad we're moving mm-hmm. to a casual moment. But what do your best days look like? Like if you had a day, like a Saturday,
okay.
What does that look like?
So could I go anywhere?
Sure.
I'd go to Disneyland. Okay. That would be my perfect day. Everything else goes along with Disneyland, great.
And then we're good.
But if I didn't go to Disneyland,
thank you.
yeah, that was an easy answer. I mean, what I would do is I'd wake up, go to the gym, probably come back, play video games for a few hours. I love to play video games.
Same.
And then I'd probably hang out with Mallory, hang out with you, maybe do both, go out to dinner. Maybe, which I think we're going to do later. So I'm really stoked. Today is turning out to be one of those days.
It's one of those days. We used to call them Saturdays with Ryan.
Yeah. Where we don't do fucking shit.
But we don't do fucking shit.
Yeah. This is one of those days is that I didn't go to the gym this morning because I just didn't feel like it. And it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love
if
that.
If you're not a professional athlete and you don't feel like going, you know, go to the gym a healthy amount. But if you go enough that, you know, you don't have to, it's fine. But we're hanging out and then we're going to go get dinner later and mainly just doing stuff that makes me happy is one of my best days.
Do you ever feel pressured because of like, because since, I mean, you have Burley, you have Volley Media, you have, you know, you have a chance.
Wait, no, sorry. What's your favorite day look like?
Ooh, we're going to my side. Honestly, things like this.
Okay. Not go you and I'm also going to say you can't go to the gym on a day that's your off day.
What?
Yeah. On a Saturday.
I sure as fuck can.
No, you can't. On a Saturday, you know, I have the ability to not work, so you need to do not work. So what are you going to do with not going to the gym?
I just got a glimpse into my head of how much I actually love basketball when he said I can't go. Yeah,
so tell me.
Cuz it really told me, are you sure? Like, are you sure?
Best part is there's been days where you go, yeah, I'm not going to go to the gym. And then you leave here and I see you go live on Instagram that you went to the gym. So no, you can't go to the gym.
I've tried so many times to have days off. I've finally gotten better, but only because my vertical's increased 2 inches.
Ayo.
So in the weird way, not going to the gym on those days has now become like a fascination of mine because I've seen such a bigger increase. So for those of you athletes listening to this, as a lot of you do, rest.
Well, that's the other thing that I can say for marketing people too is
interesting.
I have also found that I can't create every day of the week. I have to, and I can create, but it can't be on the computer. So I bake and I bake cakes and cookies and stuff. And I found something that is completely unrelated to what I do that I have to do to reset my mind.
Interesting. And it still gives you the ability to create, mm-hmm. which his cakes are unreal. At Ryan Weimer, I'm sure he has some on. Do you have any on your highlights, uh-huh. or do you have to go yeah. find them?
Okay. No, they're on my highlights.
Oh my gosh. Like, and I'm talking, they look professional. And how many hours do you take on these cakes?
8.
Okay. A long time.
Yeah. 8 to 10. But you still haven't told me what your favorite day looks like not going
That's
to the gym.
You're still the gym.
Yeah, you can't go to the gym. You got to tell me.
How in the world did you take that away from me? Well, yeah, I can't do Disneyland either.
You could say Disneyland, but then you're going to have to do something else as well. So.
Okay. My God. I absolutely love it. I guess if I had a perfect day, it would be, there would be some video games played, but it would be like Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. like two, like the one where
PS2, baby.
Yeah. Like maybe some PS2 games, maybe Burnout. Mm-hmm. Did you ever play Burnout?
Yes.
Yeah. Or Need for Speed Most Wanted mm-hmm. or something like that.
I actually just got a new Need for Speed game.
Ooh.
You haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I would like to try that out. Something about running away from the cops.
There's something about it with no consequences.
You got 9 cops and a helicopter yeah. falling. You got to try and blow them up. There would definitely be some video games played. You know, honestly, and this is something that I've thought a lot about lately, I would love to, and I told you this, my goal this year is to not be a fifth wheel. Mm-hmm. I have put so much time into the gym over the past 6 years, and I'm very thankful that I have, because my life has been so much fun.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to, you know, bring someone else into this world of mine. And I think I'm at a point finally where I think I'm going to make more money financially with basketball that I will be able to do that and feel, I don't know what it was. I felt like I couldn't, not that I couldn't provide, because obviously you're not providing mm-hmm. for your girlfriend, but the pressure of just having enough on the side to go yeah. do fun things.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a part of me that if I had a perfect day, it would be to, you know, maybe go on a couple of dates again. And
yeah.
I've tried that this year, and we'll see.
If Mallory's here, and I have to say this, she'd go, aww.
Jeremy's trying.
But no, I think that's really cool. I mean, being engaged, it's one of those things that, for one, it's not just like a romantic thing. It's like, I just have a best friend that I can hang out with all yeah. the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's really nice to have that.
Well, right. Cause I don't, it doesn't necessarily like, yeah, I got the first things I'd want to do. Yeah. I'd want to play a few video games, mm-hmm. but just spending time with like with you and like with somebody else, like that would be just fun mm-hmm. and someone that brings good energy into my life and has sass. And I think about like what I would want in a partner, and it really is that someone just brings good energy and brings yeah. out the best side of me. And that's what I told you on our podcast of why we're still friends, is you bring out such a good side of me. And
I'm glad
that's what I want. Yeah. I want that in like a partner that I can find some at some point. And I'm not, obviously you have to be patient. You can't just force these things.
But I'm not a girl either. So
that's tough. It's tough. Yeah. You and your twin brother are not going to be able to do anything for
me. Nope.
For sorry. Somebody else, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But that's just not the way my cookie crumbles. And just to spend time with people that bring out the best side of me. It's pretty simple for me, mm-hmm. really. Or maybe take the time to, because I used to not value myself in this birthday year, and you were there. This is the first year I've ever really celebrated my birthday. I think I love and value myself so much more that I used to be like, oh, I don't want to burden people and have people drive for me. Mm-hmm. Like, how low did I actually think of myself to be like, because now this year I was like, yeah, we're going to do it at Bullwinkle's, and my other best friend Andrew's going to drive down from Hillsboro, which is about a 45-minute trip for him. And then you were going to have to drive about 45 minutes as well. You end up yeah. riding with us.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, no. The heck with that. Like, everyone's going to Bullwinkle's because that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun as a group.
And that's the funny thing is, I didn't even think about it. It was driving. I was like, oh, hell yeah, I get to go out to Bullwinkle's with Jeremy, you know, and everybody else.
But I wonder if people think about that too, of if they don't value themselves enough, if they're like, oh, I don't want someone to have to do that. Because mm-hmm. I would think for the other person. I think for yeah. him, like, oh, man, maybe he doesn't want to drive 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And this year has been the real shift of, fuck yeah, he's going to want to drive 45 mm-hmm. minutes and we're going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
And we really did.
I was thinking when you were talking about doing stuff for your birthday, is that because I gave you some money to come to Disneyland with us. And so just Mallory and I got engaged in Disneyland this past May. And you were in Vegas and you were saying, yeah, I, you know, you're trying to make enough money to come and stuff. And you were like,
I worked hard that week.
Yeah, you did. And you were like 60 bucks short or 40 bucks short. And I was like, dude, happy freaking birthday, you know? And then you came. So that's what I thought. No, Bullwinkle's was really fun. Go-karts and all that shit. It was great.
But it's the same thing. Like, I don't think I would have, I don't know if I would have accepted the like $60 help.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, I know how much value I bring to just enjoy and energy in life yeah. that I see. I think I see things a little bit differently. And I hope mm-hmm. people start to see that with themselves as they learn how to love themselves.
Right.
But I think what happens too on these quote unquote best days is I used to feel like an imposter. And that's, I used to feel the pressure because on my Instagram, I am quote unquote a professional athlete. And so, yes, you guys see me working out all the time. And when I'm not, there's times like, well, I could have done more. And do you ever feel the pressure on your off days to do a little more work with Volume Media? And I know I was actually hard on you in the past as a friend mm-hmm. of, man, I think you could just do this with Volume Media and you wouldn't have to work for another company. You could work for yourself. And I've given those speeches to a lot of different people, but it was like you took it a little differently in a great way of no. And yeah. this is why, and this is what I value.
Yeah. So for me, and I try to tell this to other people too, is that set a specific amount of hours during the day that you're actually going to do work. Because, you know, I work 8 hours a day. And if I have a project that I'm working on, I'll, you know, set enough time that the due date, because I get to set the due dates for it. I set enough time that I can come home and maybe work for 2 hours every other night during the week. And then work on the weekends for 4 to 6 hours on a project. And then I should be able to get it done in a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have some time to fine tune it. So what I do with a project is I'll finish the rough draft and not look at it for at least a day. And then I'll come back and relook at it.
For the same reasons on perspective.
Yeah. So for me, when I'm doing stuff, I make sure that I say, all right, this is the time I'm going to work. And if I don't work the rest, it's okay, because I know if I was to work, and I could, from the time I get home from work at 5 all the way until 11 when I go to bed, the next day is going to be terrible because I will not be creative. I will not know what I'm going to do, and I will regret having done that. And so making sure that you set enough time away for you to do what you like to do is so important, because you should never feel like you are not worthy of other people because you're doing something that you aren't promoting. You should always say, this is the time that I'm able to promote it, and understand that I'm a human being, and if I don't want to do it 24/7, I don't give a shit what you say. It's healthy for me, and that's especially for me as I've learned what the healthy amount of work is that I can do during the week.
Right. Probably through experience.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Experience. Yeah. Yeah.
And I wish people could have heard my genuine first reaction. I couldn't fake it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you said that, I was like, oh, man. And it hit me so hard of, I guess I've never really allocated, like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym from, you know, 8 to 10 p.m. tonight with a little bit of leeway. If I'm working on something uh-huh. and it goes till 10:30, 10:45, you know, so be it. Yeah. If I finish early and it's 9:30, I'm not going to, you know, punish myself.
Right.
But I've always looked at it as like almost like an open-ended project.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like maybe that's why I put extra pressure on myself, because I hit those thresholds.
Yeah.
And then I push through them, which I'm sure there's some good things for that as well. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really impacted me negatively. And when you said that you allocate a certain time, like I said, I wish you guys could have seen my first reaction.
It was good. It was a good reaction. You were like, whoa, mind blown.
Well, especially because I was the one that was kind of hard on you, because I was like, mm-hmm. man, you know, I can push forward for 6 hours even after I work and after I have these days. You know, it was the, why can't you? Obviously, I wasn't saying it like that. Yeah, it was coming from a friend perspective. I would just love to see him. I would love to see more people love his content, because right. it is so, I just think it's so incredible. And yes, I'm a friend and I'm biased probably, but I don't know. So I was kind of being hard on him. I was like, man, I wish you did it more. And like, and then mm-hmm. you were like, you know, that's really, what you said back to me was super respectable. It was, you know, that's kind of like a backhand slap to say that I don't work enough on Volley Media, because I do. And maybe you just don't know it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I could work more. And just because you knew yourself well enough and you already knew your thresholds and you had already had this conversation with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned more that day. And that's, we talked about this on
our
podcast.
Yeah, I remember that conversation that we had.
Vividly.
Yeah. Because I was mad.
Which is completely respectable.
Yeah.
And being able to have, we talked about this on his podcast on friendships, of being able to have difficult conversations because obviously he was upset, but it's not like I was coming at it from the intent.
Malicious. Yeah.
From the intent of like, you're a horrible person, why don't you work harder? Mm-hmm. It was, you know, I literally in the text, it says, I love your content so much, I want more people to see it.
Right.
So, but at the same time, like, I want people to have those difficult conversations. And so mm-hmm. if you do want to hear that, you can check out his podcast. But I guess what... Did you have to only learn through experience of these are my thresholds? And then we kind of already touched on this a little bit, so we won't go too long.
Yeah. So one of the things that is also beneficial that you don't have is I have a 9-to-5 job, in that I have a specific amount of hours that I can work that I need to get something done in. And if I don't, I just come back tomorrow and keep working on it. Whereas you don't clock in, you don't clock out. You know, you have to set your own hours.
Right.
And I do that for my own business. But because I've had that experience, I know how much work I can get done in a specific amount of time. And it just comes from experience. It really does. I haven't really had that experience of where I've hit that wall so hard that I just don't want to do something. There have been points in time where I really just don't want to work on a project, and it has come to the detriment of I need to put in 6 hours, 8 hours on a weekend because right now I didn't work on it during, you know, there was the last video that I did, I had to really crank it out. But yeah, it's just figuring out what's healthy for you, because honestly, and I've said this before, if you don't take time where you just aren't doing anything, you know, watch TV, play some video games, do something that doesn't take any brain power. If you don't do that during the day, it's going to be detrimental to your mental health as well as how you your outlook on the next day.
Mm-hmm. And then you don't feel any pressure as you're relaxing,
right?
Because you know how, because you've already set that out of like, mm-hmm. oh no, I worked for 2 hours, I did a great job. So you already allocated that
right.
for yourself,
right?
And yeah. so then once you're relaxing, you're like, nope,
yep,
I'm relaxing, and I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is something that I'm going to take into account with the things that I'm creating right now. And I think that's what I'll do with podcasting going forward too, mm-hmm. is I will allocate, you have probably 35 minutes to an hour, because the scar is still kind of fresh.
Yeah.
Of, okay, you have 35 minutes to an hour, because you know you're creating for Snapchat, then you're creating for Facebook, and you're creating for Instagram.
Yeah.
Even thinking about it, it sounds mm-hmm. like someone getting ready for... You know, have you ever heard, we're going to talk about this for a second. You know when people talk about getting up and going to the gym,
mm-hmm.
and they go, okay, you got to get dressed, and then there's probably going to be a ton of people there, and then someone's going to be using my squat machine, and then there's going to be this, and it's, I almost talked about an inside joke with somebody, with somebody that you and I used to talk to all the time on the phone.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh. I know who you're talking
speaking
about.
Speaking of
uh-huh.
the gym.
Yeah.
So anyways, like, but people, they make this huge story up in their head mm-hmm. that I hear, and I'm like, you don't have to get ready and then go to the gym, and there's going to be a people in the squat rack, and there's going to be all I'm hearing is excuses.
Right.
I wonder if I literally just said that out loud, and I heard myself of, well, you got to create for Snapchat, then you got to create for Instagram, Ryan,
yeah.
and then Ryan, you got to do it for Facebook too.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that's those videos that I talked about, that minute long video mm-hmm. is every, you know, it's only once a week that we come out with a podcast, but I'm going to have to sit down for 20, 30 minutes and make it.
Right.
And for me with content creation is figure out a way and some sort of platform that you can make it once and then push it to everything.
That's fair.
Because what I've done with these videos is it's the same on Facebook and the same on Instagram. Mm. You know, there is benefit to doing different ones every once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe for the bigger ones.
Yeah. But as far as, you know, day-to-day stuff, it doesn't need to be any different because your audiences are most likely going to be different.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like on each one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess since I just learned from Gary Vee.
Yeah.
He talks about making 60 pieces of content for one.
Yeah. But it's like, is that your job? How much time do you have to do that? You know, are you getting paid to do it? Yeah. If you're getting, yeah.
If it's a hobby.
Yeah. If you're getting paid to do it, 100%. But if you're not getting any sort of income from it, and, you know, once you get to a big enough point, go for it. But that will not be me.
Or hire someone else to do it.
Exactly.
Hey, Cindy, can you come create this?
I'd like you to edit this podcast, please.
The day, the dream. I think the last question that I want you to answer for people is your ability to have open communication. We just talked about difficult conversations that you and I have had. We talked openly about that on the last podcast we did. And your ability to have open communication with your boss, with your fiancé.
Don't jump that gun yet. I still have time to back out if I want to.
Yes, you do. I approve for now, though. Your parents, I'm sure, like, you know, maybe your other friends. You have an ability to have open communication. Has that grown over the years? I'm sure it has, but I guess what would you please talk about that?
As far as from a professional standpoint, having conversations with bosses and superiors is never easy, but it's always beneficial when you do, and it does depend on your boss. I'm fortunate that the bosses that I've had have been very great, and they're easy to talk to. When you find somebody who isn't as easy to talk to, it's just super important to be respectful. That's the number one thing that you want to come into any professional conversation with, is I'm just going to be as respectful as possible, and not in the way of like I need to be respectful so I don't piss them off. It's
like
just
kiss ass.
Yeah, it's just no. I just need to be respectful and understanding, and just try and get my point across in the most respectful way possible. So, just say for instance, maybe you have an issue with your boss, and you think that it's something that they can change easily or that they just don't know about.
Okay.
You go, and it's just like this for any other sort of relationship, is you just go in and make sure that you're not trying to make them feel like an idiot, that you have respect for them, and you just want to let them know that what they're doing isn't great for you, and you would like it if maybe there's a way that they could change it, or you know, something else, but just be respectful. And I find that it always helps to try and have a smile on your face.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like that it helps from a perspective, and we talked about rebranding, when you first meet these people, you treat them like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, hey, how are you? Like, what's going on in your life? And then you actually ask follow-up questions. Right. I know that you will.
Yeah.
And to the point where you know certain things about them. So when they do come in the office, it's, oh, hey, Brian, like, hey, how did that night turn out with your kid, like that you went out with, and you know, you and he'd be like, oh, you know, it was great, and we did this and this and that. And then approaching someone to have a difficult conversation after that, like they know that you're, it's kind of what we talked about with intent, like you know, with friendships, like having a difficult conversation, we know each other so well that we know that we're not being malicious.
Yeah.
So do you think that probably helps? Is because I feel like people look at a boss like, oh, it's the boss, he's here, I need to put on a mask and act differently, where me and my boss were making Step Brothers quotes.
Yeah.
Because he's a human being. He likes that movie too.
Yeah. And it also comes from the level of superiority. If they're one or two or three steps above you, it's different. But
do you think so?
I think it just depends on the person.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. You can gauge that.
Yeah. I would gauge on the person. But what I would say is I just make sure and treat people the way that I would want to be treated as a person in their position.
Mm-hmm. True. With a little bit of the respect in that part. Okay.
But not necessarily of, oh my God, the boss is here, I need to do something. It's the boss is here and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I've been in a position of superiority before at some of my other jobs. And I guarantee you that all that person is looking for, depending on the person, you always have to keep that in mind, is a good work environment, that you're a positive person, and that you just want to be there, and you're not just there for the check.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you're those things,
which is the same with creating content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're those things in a job, you're going to be great. Just be positive. Even if you're having a shitty day, you leave it at the door, and you can come into work. You know, maybe you have to fake like you're being happy for a day, and not necessarily completely fake it, but don't bring negative stuff into a workplace.
I will say this, your coworkers don't deserve it. Your boss doesn't deserve it.
Yep.
But more importantly, you don't deserve it.
Yep.
I did a podcast on this like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I was really frustrated, and then I was going home and I was like, oh, I don't want to take this home to my brother and my mom, because I've been very joyful over the past, gosh, few months at least, of just like really happy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really want to bring this in there. They don't deserve that. And so I started asking myself better questions. Eventually, the question I heard was, wait, why do you deserve this?
Mm-hmm.
And of all, you know, of all the ways to help yourself get over something before you walk into the door, you don't deserve to have a negative attitude about something throughout the day that's going to affect you.
Yeah. And it, I mean, obviously it depends on the situation, but a lot of the stuff that, you know, you deal with is when you bring it into specifically a workplace, it can negatively affect how the boss sees you.
Truth.
And so just making sure that if you are having a bad day and mm-hmm. it's going to be a bad day.
Oh yeah, there are bad days.
You just let the boss know. If a person comes to me and tells me, listen, this and this happened, I am not doing great today, I'm going to try.
Yeah, absolutely.
The boss will say, all right, you know, we all have those bad days. And if this is a once in a blue moon type thing,
right,
they're going to completely understand.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, hey, somebody in my family had something, or because obviously there's bad days, there's sad days too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're that, I completely agree. And I think that comes with the open dialogue too.
Yeah.
Where if you've asked them how they are every day and actually cared to hear
mm-hmm.
how they are rather than just a, hey, how are you, and move along.
Yeah.
I think that would make that open dialogue communication a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, I know we're running somewhat long right now, but this has been so awesome. And the question I always like to ask is, you know, people will hear your story and they'll say like, you know, he's really good at this. And if they go check out your content, they're like, God, it's really good. They'll put you on a pedestal. And what I call it is fanboying.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I like to do is I like to bring it back down and say, you know, what makes you just like everybody else? And then what makes you take the time to push through that? Like,
yeah. For me, it's, I, as far as like my content creation and all that stuff is, I was at a point where I didn't know anything, and just through work and time is what I've been able to do. And I'm not talking about, you know, all this stuff is like, you just need to work and get it done. You know, I've been doing it for 4 years and getting to a point where I'm really confident in what I do. And I still have to Google a lot of stuff. You know, there are things where, you know, you might see something that I did, or I may have said something like on a podcast of, you know, sort of advice, is that I probably Googled it and read about it, but I did the research enough to be confident in it.
Right.
But, you know, as this, the After Effects thing that I worked on, I'd followed a tutorial on how to do that. It's not like
a 10 minute YouTube tutorial.
It was 10 minutes that turned into 6 hours. It's not like I just do it. You know,
right.
It's, I still look up tutorials on a lot of stuff. So that's really, it's not, I'm able to do enough of the work to make it look like the stuff that I'm doing is really, really good, which I mean,
it is,
it is. But it's not like I'm just doing it from a point of, this is how it's always been.
Yeah. It's not like and that's why I don't really believe in, you know, God given talent.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't just come out the womb.
But I disagree. I think that people have a God given talent, but it takes cultivation to make it right. So.
Like, but I think we have talents to do it. If you wanted to be a professional soccer mm-hmm. player, it would take you probably 3 years, but there would be a blueprint.
Yeah.
To follow. There would be somebody that had decided at one point in their life they wanted to be a soccer player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Always Loading podcast exists because it's like, yes, you can't do it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But you could actually do it in 3 years.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that, you know, there are people out there who are like that, who have that such a large talent that you go, okay, yeah, this is crazy. But what you need to do is realize that they have also put in the work.
Thousands of hours.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, it might come easier to them.
Maybe.
But it's not that it's completely impossible for anybody else to get it done.
But wouldn't you argue it might come easy to them because of other things that they've done that are along the same vein? Because if I pick up a tennis racket, it really doesn't take, it didn't take me but like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, you're so lucky. You know how many exercises I've done with hand-eye coordination of a ball being hit by a stick?
Mm-hmm. No, it's exactly like that. So like with podcasting,
mm-hmm.
It comes easy for me because I've been doing this content creation forever.
Mm.
It's just another program that I need to learn to be able to do, and it takes me an hour to learn the program. So yeah, I think that people have specific things that they're good at to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you figure out what that is, you just cultivate that and grow it. And then everything that goes along with it will also come a lot easier.
Absolutely. And I think the last thing I want to ask is how that stems to playing an instrument. Because mm-hmm. of all the things that is that takes an incredible amount of practice and patience is learning how to play an instrument.
Right.
And I wonder if that kind of helps have the patience of, hey, I'm not great at this yet,
mm-hmm.
but I can be.
Yeah. So I took piano for 9 years when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped doing that when I got to middle school.
Right around then.
But then I started playing trombone.
Really sad.
Yeah. I started playing trombone, and I played that from middle school all the way through college.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy, but I'm one of those people who, with the trombone, it just came easy to me.
But I guess that's what I mean is I don't see it as you're one of those people. I see it as because you had the ability to learn through piano and you've already kind of worked with music, I think that made it come easier.
It made the music reading come easier and mm-hmm. the musicality of it. It didn't make the playing of the trombone any easier.
Interesting.
I was just fortunate enough that playing the trombone came easy to me. Granted, I wasn't good when I started, but through enough playing, you know, it came easier to me than it came to other people. That's what I'm saying is
right.
There are specific things that come easier to people than other people. And that's what I'm talking about is find the thing that comes easy to you and go for it.
Right. But if they do want to do something that maybe doesn't come easy to them, mm-hmm. understand that there is a blueprint mm-hmm. to do it.
Exactly.
Like there is, like even if it's content creation, if you've never done it, if you literally go on YouTube tutorial,
yeah.
especially when it comes to that kind of stuff, it's pretty black and white.
Yeah. What I kind of want to get across is that there's nothing stopping you from doing anything.
Truth.
For one. But don't beat your head against a wall over and over and over again to do something that you've been trying for a long time that you don't get any enjoyment out of.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to do something and you just, you know, you're like, everybody else is doing this, I got to do this, but you don't enjoy it.
Right.
Don't do it. Find something that you really enjoy and make that what you're really good at.
And this last 3 hours has been wonderful.
Yeah.
And that would be a great place to stop at because, you know, I've told you guys this a million times. I don't do a podcast to do a podcast. I do a podcast because I've been helping people one-on-one for years. And I realized that once I got on a podcast, it allowed me to reach such a wider range of people. And it allowed me to have people on like Ryan and like Daylin and like Austin and Ashley and Aaron and all these people that I've had on that are wonderful, relatable role models that will touch on something that's more in your alley. Because, yes, mine's sports specific usually, and there's other things that I touch on, but it allows you to hear that just another example of he's just a person. He's a wonderful person.
Thank you.
But he's just a person, and he's something that can be duplicated through work. And what I really want people to get out of it is what you said at the end. I want people to be joyous. And at the end of the day, this is what I always like to say, at the end of the day, if you text me or DM me, which my number is literally on Anchor, or on the website, and you say, I was myself today. That's what I want people to do. Because when they're joyous and when you're happy, you will be making the world and yourself and the people around you so much more happier. You will bring so much good energy. And you will actually get and cultivate the things that you want so much faster when you are becoming more of who you are on the inside. And that only comes through joy. So with that being said, Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been super awesome. I'm just going to give one more plug. Just a couple of things on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's my podcast right now. You can go check out my work actually at Voli Media, VOLIMedia.net. And yeah, I was super excited to be here. You got to listen to Jeremy on our podcast. We talked about being friends. It was very... Well, no, it wasn't very hoiky-doiky, but it was... I just made that word up. Just want to let you know.
Hoiky-doiky?
Hoiky-doiky.
And then you turned yourself around.
Hunky-dory. But it was a lot of fun. So, I'm super glad that we were able to do this.
Yeah. And like I said before, I have no problem sharing his content. I don't share a whole lot, but you guys should definitely dive into Ryan's world because you will not be disappointed. All the best.